Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I am Madeline.
And we're back with a very special episode of Tay Rewind. It has been 10 years since one of the strangest things that Taylor Swift has ever done, which is her 73 questions interview with Vogue. Madeline, what was it like for you to revisit this interview?
What's funny about this particular interview and really this particular time period of Swiftieism, I don't want to say that I was clocked out, but I do want to say all these years of being a Swiftie, at that point, it was many years, not nearly as many years as it's been now, of course, but it was many years, and I had never taken even like 2 steps back from Taylor before. This came out during a period of time where I was feeling more distant from her than I ever had up to that point. And I specifically remember watching this interview when it first came out and having to turn it off because I found it so strange. I specifically remember that. I don't think up until maybe this was the first time I've watched the entire thing. I think it may have been. And I just got all the information from reading Tumblr posts or like reading the list of like what had happened in it. I watched it all the way through and it put an icy cold chill up my spine. The format of it is weird.
It's a painful viewing experience.
It's painful. And I watched, thanks to my YouTube suggestions, I watched Jennifer Lawrence's. And I watched Adele's. And like those are two very charismatic, very funny, very engaging women. The format is just incredibly uncomfortable because they were just as awkward.
It requires a level of rehearsedness that doesn't lend itself to the fact that it's supposed to be just a fly on the wall interview. All the bits of like planting people in various rooms and having them ask stupid questions. It's also not funny and the questions aren't very clever. So it just ends up feeling so much like I am celebrity. I am showing you me and my life. I think the best moment from a 73 questions ever was Dakota Johnson kind of taking the piss out of it when she gestured towards that bowl of limes and she was like, I love limes. I always display them like this. Meanwhile, she's allergic to limes and the set designer had just decided that they would look pretty there. That kind of sums up what this is. But this was like the most popular viral format. It was of that time of Carpool Karaoke, Vogue Get Ready With Me. That's still kind of popular, but like 73 questions was it. You were a star. And Taylor's is one of the most viewed. It has 40 million views on YouTube.
And meanwhile, she's doing Robot in a way that is so genuinely uncomfortable to view. It's not any way that I've ever seen her behave in like most of her interviews. It's not like that. It's very,
she
especially
her talking points, but this is like, this I think it's because it's choreographed as well. That's the other thing. You have to not only remember your answer to the question, but remember the blocking of what's coming next. Like, oh, now I need to go into this room and do that. And it's less than 10 minutes. She moves around quite a lot for an interview that lasts less than 10 minutes long. And it's weird.
He has to like prompt her too. I noticed that there were, you know, like segues. He would like prompt her like, it's getting cold outside. And she would go, yeah, it is. And then like go inside the house. And that means it's time to go inside the house. And it's like, this is fucking weird. We can't just sit at one place and ask these 73 questions. Probably would have been a better interview. Just my take.
Well, we did. Okay, so the good thing about it is that we did get to see her house. This is the most we've ever gotten to see, like, in motion. We've seen pictures. We've got pictures from many different people. But this is the most we've ever seen, like, a house tour of Taylor Swift, which is probably, as we know, not a good idea for her, given how many stalkers she has. But this is taking place at her LA home in Beverly Hills.
What's funny about this is that Jennifer Lawrence did hers at the mini golf course. She said, you're not coming in my fucking house. And I really respected that. And I think Taylor should have gone to the mini golf course. with. But I did like seeing into her house. But the thing about like seeing, and I think this every single time, when you get pictures where you can see her shelves, to me, it's like looking at one of those weird pictures. You know those pictures that people used to make where you can't really see anything? Everything mm-hmm. and nothing is there all at once. That's what her shelves look like to me. It's like random knickknacks and pictures that you can't really see. And I'm like, I get nothing out of this. I did see she had a crystal ball. That made me clap and cheer. Otherwise, 9 statues of cats. Okay.
Yeah, like, anything okay. Else? It's one of those things VMA. Where like, when you're in someone's home, they explain to you like the significance and the right. meaning. Like you point at something, you go, what's that? That gives you some context. Right. But speaking of context, this came out in April 2016 on the precipice of Bleachella. So I think there's another reason why she's clenching throughout this interview, which is that she also gave that interview a little bit later with GQ where she said she felt like she was steering a plane and she didn't know where the plane was going to go. There was a corresponding Vogue cover shoot that came out with this video in which she went coconut mode. But here she's still normal Taylor. She hasn't bleached. She hasn't cropped the hair yet. It's filmed pre-Grammys, but the Grammys are very much on her mind. And I think also before we get right into dissecting this entire interview, we should remind everyone that there are 2 showgirls sitting before you and only 2 of them will become America's Next Top Touring Artist. We are going on tour again. The Showgirl Experience is coming to a city near you in North America. We're coming to the East Coast, the West Coast, to Canada. You need to go to evolutionofsnake.com and get tickets right now. Meet and greets are sold out in DC. And LA and Chicago, and I believe they're very nearly gone in New York and some other cities too. So if you want to come see us, get your ass up and come.
We will know if you don't come, and we will hold you personally accountable for what you
We're
did.
Saying do come. Do
We're
come.
Saying do come. Do come.
Do come to the Showgirl Experience. All right, let's get into it. So she opens the door. And what I love is she answers him before he's done asking questions so many times, because I gather that they ran through this a bunch of times. She's wearing kind of like a lacy bodysuit and high-waisted skinny jeans, very 2016. And the interviewer asks her, what are you busy with? She says, working out and getting ready for Grammys. And the most exciting thing in her life right now is Grammys. She's dead ass when she says Grammys.
And she's still as serious about it now as she was then. That's the scary part. That's the scary part. Grammys, the way that she says it too. And then later on when she says, my Grammys, it's like, oh girl.
We get it.
This campaign.
It would have been so embarrassing if she hadn't won any Grammys, because this came out like 2 months later.
And thank God. Thank God.
Album of the year.
I guess we'll never know.
This is also, I think also time space wise, this is pre-Snakegate. And also I think it might even be pre- famous dropping officially, or it might be just after whenever it was filmed, because she was clearly pissed in this video, but I don't know that she had the full picture of what had actually transpired yet. When asked what's moved her recently, she says, oh my God, the movie The Martian. The amount of times that this movie comes up in this interview. Have you seen it? Is it a good movie?
No, I've never seen it.
She loves to get attached to like whatever the current media is of the moment and then immediately drop it. It's like that Something Great movie from Netflix. Love that. Best movie ever made. Never mentioned it again.
Also kind of like Game of Thrones. Although to be fair,
that has been referenced. That has been referenced.
That has been referenced. And also Sophie Turner, BFF. We knew that. But yeah, no, she's very into like, this is what everybody's talking about. And I like to know too. And I can't bemoan her of that. I like to know. I like to have an opinion. I like to be in the conversation around the water cooler. So there you go. She watched The Martian.
All her questions about media were pretty much predictable answers. That's the other thing about this interview is there's like 1 or 2 times where she says something that's like interesting or new or revealing, but otherwise it's just so rehearsed.
Bland.
So he pans over to her writing room. I love the wallpaper in her house, by the way.
Yeah, it was really cute. I really liked one of my favorite things in houses. I do this in all my Sim houses. The round archway. I love it. Mm. If I ever like, you know, one day when I make my millions, when I become a millionaire, I want to build a house that is full of archways and archways. I think there's nothing more romantic. So I loved that.
I remember Dorinda Medley said, you know, there's nothing more indicating of a rich person than when they put wallpaper in the closet.
And you know what? That is Taylor. And again, when I make my millions, when I make my millions, I will have wallpaper in my closet, period. But you know what? I don't think it is anymore because now they have that removable sticky wallpaper. I could do that right now.
A flaw.
I could do that
flaw.
Right now.
That's not interesting.
So that's over.
At all.
You see how the lower class is always coming for everything the rich has? As they should.
Leave the rich people alone.
Yeah.
Sometimes the rich ate. So he pans over to her writing room where she writes a lot of songs. I want to fact check on that. There's a massive wood piano and many knickknacks everywhere. He asks her how many guitars she owns, and she says she lost track in 2007. Wrong answer. I want a specific number.
Yeah, you know. I thought that was a cop-out. She does know. She knows. It's
get
somewhere in the
tell
realm.
You.
Yeah, get someone to tell you. 10, 20? I feel like it's somewhere between 10
oh,
and 20.
Oh, 30. I would
period.
Think 30 with all the special ones she's had for tour over the years. Those don't just go away, Mihope.
Mihope indeed. Was there any, her Sparkle guitar was at the Country Music Hall of Fame, right?
Yes.
Now,
and
we
love to see it.
That
we love to see
you
it.
You know what? Not everything
wasn't
was
the koi
gag.
Fish there too? It was.
Was
it
she?
Was.
I need to look
it.
At my pictures. I remember the sparkly one really gagged me though. I remember looking at it and being like,
what gagged us the most was how busted the Speak Now Sparks Fly dress was.
Yeah, it when it's not
well, it's been
in
through
movement.
A lot.
When it's not in movement, it's really kind of like not that special. But it's special because of how she moves in it and like what it's related to.
When
but
the
like
lights
when you see
hit it,
on a mannequin in a kind of dark museum and there's like a whole tribute to Luke Bryan behind you, you're kind of like, it's not clicking. But the sparkle guitar
sucks the
clicked.
Magic out.
Oh, it clicked. I was like, I can't believe we're looking at this right now.
I wanted to touch.
I wanted to
touch. Actually, I think they didn't have the original one. I think they had an Eras Tour one. Yeah, they did with a
don't
13 in
off.
It, remember?
Yeah,
I think that's what it was.
Is the old one still in existence? Because if it were,
it is,
why would
but you... I don't know where it is. It's
where'd
in a museum somewhere, I bet.
Where'd she put it?
Bring it back.
Remember the Taylor Swift, what was it, the Art Center? And it was so like.
Oh, yeah, what happened to that? That was in Nashville.
It was in Nashville. It was in the Country Music Hall of Fame. We went to it, and it was
oh,
like
yeah.
a room, and we were like, oh.
Okay. There was a bunch of post-its. Sure.
There was. Anyway.
Well.
There was. Anyway.
Anywho, she says that the first song she learned to play on the guitar is Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer. Taste.
That was one of the first songs I learned to play on the ukulele. I think it's just one of those songs everybody learns because it's kind of easy.
Two musical savants. Also, it's one of Taylor's, I think that's such a Taylor-coded song.
Oh, it's one of the greatest songs ever made. It's one of those songs where it's like, if you're not fucking with Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer, you can get out. If there's anybody who's like, I hate that song, you will never see the pearly gates, my friend.
Did she cover that on the Speak Now tour?
She had to have. There's no way she didn't.
She must have. And I need to go look back and find it. No, we should know this, especially because
we
did our Speak Now
handbarology. We did a whole thing about it. We're flops. What can I say?
We're flops. She also says that she records a voice memo or journals in her notes when she gets an idea. Okay, thanks. On her songwriting process. Now, this is what no one ever asks her about that, like, we want to know. She says that her songwriting process requires a lot of preparation and that she writes her ideas down before she gets into a session. Efficient queen. So I think we know this about Taylor, and it's something a bit different about how other artists work with producers and stuff. I think because Taylor's very protective over writing credits and being a writer and having everything go her way, she probably comes, I don't imagine she would ever come to the studio and be like, I don't know what I want to work on today. Let's come up with it together. I think she comes in with at the very least like a melody and a phrase. I can't imagine her ever going into a studio and being like, let's just make something random.
Now, my question for her in this instance is because she says, Blank Space was the quickest song she'd ever written because she had those lines locked and loaded for a year. I want to know which lines there were. Because remember, in the Folklore Long Pond studio session, she said she had Hoax in a journal forever. She had Meet Me Behind the Mall in a journal forever. I also believe, I can't prove this, but I know it, Stronger Than a 90s Trend was in a journal somewhere. And what I want to know is, okay, so do you build the song around the phrase or the word, or are you writing the song and you go, oh, you know what would go perfect in this? Is that one is Hoax or that one line that I wrote in my notebook? Like, I want to know that so bad. I'm sure it happens differently every time, but with Blank Space, it's like, surely that was cobbled together from lots of things over the span of a year. Like, it wasn't like she knew she was writing Blank Space. She knew she was writing Blank Space when she knew she was writing Blank Space. Before that, it was just a thought.
Well, I can demystify this for you because she's actually shared this information before. She has shared that the lines that she kept in her notes app from Blank Space were, "Darling, I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream, and I can make the bad guys good for a weekend." And that makes total sense to me because they're like the zingers. They're the ones that stuck in her brain.
And you know what's funny is that the lines that she's had in her notebook for a long time are usually the ones that she lands the hardest, like, "Come back stronger than a 90s trend. Get real. Meet me behind the
wall. Please don't ever become a stranger whose laugh I could recognize anywhere."
She's like, "I know it's good because I've thought about it for 6 months." Or are you just attached to it?
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Kill your
darlings.
She was
right. For the record, she was right. She was right about Blank Space. She was right. She was never
wrong. 100%. But 100%. It led her astray, though.
"I Come Back Stronger Than a 90s Trend." Come on.
And it was the quickest song she's ever written. Then he asks her what the longest song it took her ever to write. And she, like, is stumbling over her words here. She's like, because it was a really emotional song. And I just kept putting it down for months on end. I feel like in her mind, she had it in her head. She was like, oh my fucking God, they're going to immediately start banging on about 10 minute version. Because this was peak of the time when we were harassing her for it. Like, this was when we were really banging the drum about Red Tour DVD, All Too Well 10 minute version. She got so frustrated at one point that she was like, it's on a CD somewhere. Like, at this point, she had had enough of that. And I felt like I could see her going, I shouldn't be saying it like this because I don't want to set up expectations. Well,
but you know what? We won in the end, right, girls?
We won.
She tried to hide it from us, but we found it. Thank you.
I also think what's interesting about her songwriting process is we know she can't take very long on one song because she said she can't work on multiple songs at the same time. She has to finish it and move on. So even if it doesn't get finished in a way that's, like, satisfactory to her, she has to work it all the way through and then move on to something else, which is interesting to me. That must mean that, like, there is so much more in that vault. That vault is not empty.
No, open it up. Open it.
Let's see. Mama like a look.
Let's see what's in there. Yeah, Mama would like to take a little peek inside the vault.
I really was so annoyed. I wanted to see, there were Grammys everywhere, and I wanted to see which ones she put where. Because I was like, the one that's in here, I don't think is a very important one. What could it be? And I tried to zoom in and see, but I couldn't see. But there is a Grammy there.
Yeah.
There are beautiful decorations.
They're gorgeous. I mean, that's the thing about these beautiful statues. The Oscar, the Grammy are very Gorgina. You know which one I find really garish is the Golden Globe.
Also it's the ugly. VMA.
The Emmy is ugly as hell, too. No offense to the girls, but they are ugly. The Oscars and the Grammys. If you have one. Anybody watching Evolution of a Snake who has an Emmy, because we know there's a lot of award-winning
many, people. Many, many people.
Who
many
watch
such
the
cases.
Show. Nonetheless, the Grammy is very beautiful. And if I had Grammys, I would display them anywhere. But I also want to know, where is the 1989? Which houses do they go into? How do you choose
there's
which
some in
house
Nashville.
Your Grammys go? And it's like, how do you choose which one goes there? Like, surely the Fearless Grammys are in Nashville. Where else would they be?
They have to be.
But what's
I should
in
have
LA
known that because I saw them in person and just didn't read. That was a real flop. That was flopped. A real flop.
You see, this is nothing but floppage today. We don't know anything. Mm-mm. Call us the nothing knowers.
Call us the goddamn nothing knowers. Also, you know, the AMAs are ugly. They're those big, like, chunky. They look like the Sim crystal above the head, but, like, clear.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And the iHeartRadio Awards. Oh, they're ugly.
Ugly.
Ooh, get that out of my face.
What is it? Is it the Brits where they're like always different designs and they're like painted?
I don't like that. I want the same thing every year.
Yeah, I want the same thing so everybody knows that I won a Grammy. Not I won a statue.
I wonder where all her Teen Choice surfboards are. Notice how they've never been displayed.
They're gone. They have been melted down and remade into real surfboards for real people to really surf. Thank you.
She gave them to the Venice Beach community.
She did. She generously donated her surfboards to the Venice Beach surfing community. Thank you so much, Taylor.
So then he asks if this is the room where she keeps all her awards, subtle flex, because they wouldn't all fit in one room. And she goes, no, they're everywhere. Want to see the rest of the plays? And my favorite thing about this is she's clomping through the house. Like there are multiple moments where it's just like silence, clomp, 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 clomp. It's so funny to me. So she's on her way into the kitchen and they're kind of passing through what looks to be the dining room. She says her favorite teacher is her guitar guy, Paul Sidoti. Who teaches her on the road. And he asks her what she would teach in school if she was a teacher. And she says, English, check it out. Here's a word you might know. And then she pans down to a gorgeous vintage Scrabble board that have the words Hello Vogue on them. He says that was planned. And she says, no, that was spontaneous. I'm a very spontaneous person.
And we know that's a damn lie. She knows that sarcasm from the start. If there's anything I think that I know about Taylor, spontaneity, she doesn't like it.
She doesn't like it. The only time of late that really pops out to me, and people will say, Torture Poets was spontaneous. The Maddie Healy stuff was spontaneous. No, it wasn't. The only spontaneous thing I remember of recent mind was when she started her speech in Chicago, went off the rails, always posting. That was spontaneous. She gagged herself.
Oh, she was spontaneous. She got surprised. She was spontaneous in Chicago. Remember, because on night two, she almost pulled the child on the stage with her. What was she doing that night?
She was doing...
Oh, we know.
She was being weird.
We do.
And also question, this is the most sane, or this is the happiest I've ever felt in my entire life. That was spontaneous. You could see it on her face.
Wrong. When she is spontaneous, it's always something delicious. I also kind of think, you know who you are. This is about
risking it all.
Spontaneous.
Yeah.
When she's ready to risk it all, that's when she's spontaneous.
I'd say it happens once every 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's
delicious every time.
Whenever it does.
Yeah.
So then we move into her kitchen. And can I say something I noticed from that little daybed in the back? She has really good taste in throw pillows. And I think all her houses look so cozy and lived in. When you compare it to someone like, not to bring her up, but Kim Kardashian's house, where it's just like horrible sanded down concrete everywhere and like no fabric or texture. Taylor's houses always look so inviting, like places you want to stay.
Taylor strikes me as somebody who, and I share this affliction, I hate modern. I hate modern architecture, and a lot of LA Kim Kardashian style, like houses in the hills, are very modern and cold and like barren. I don't know how else to describe them, and ugly to me. But there are those. Taylor really likes classic, elegant, romantic architecture, and she likes cozy and homey. She's not that kind of like granite and everything is sleet gray. She's just like not that girly. And I totally share that. Again, you guys should be building houses beyond The Sims. Then you'd see. Then you'd really see what
I think
kind of girl
also I am. Taylor, something else that she's really good at with her houses is her decor style responds to wherever she is. So like the Watch Hill house is very like waspy East Coast summering. It just the interiors, the way the house is built, like obviously she bought it, but the way that it is, it just kind of reflects that space. I also think this LA house, like when we get into her garden, it's very old Hollywood, like chateau kind of vibes in New York. That's the most modern apartment that she has, but it still has this like old artist loft vibe to it. The only thing that kind of, her Nashville condo is actually in one of those really like sleek modern buildings. But of course she went crazy inside. It's the antique collection.
Yeah, show. It doesn't look like it at all. Like when you see that space, you think you're in an ancient cathedral that was abandoned.
You would not think high rise.
Yeah, you would not think high rise.
You know what it's like? It's like Rapunzel's turret.
Yeah.
Entangled. That's exactly where she lives. As she should.
As she
says her favorite beverage is coffee. She has espresso, regular coffee, different flavors. I have a VMA here. You can't take that, but you could stir with the flag. Okay. I actually think it looks cute there because it looks like an appliance. It's silver.
It does look cute there, but it gagged me when I saw it. I was like, no, this
That's
is too
belongs.
Much. This is too much. The kitchen. Where else are you supposed to put it?
She's hideousina. Like, you don't want multiples of those. You just need one.
No, you really only need one. And she has way too many.
And he says, I'll just have a water. She clumps, clump, clump, clump over to get in the glass. And he says, now there are a couple of big memes in this interview. And this is, I would say, the most girl. What was that? He says, what's your favorite cocktail? And she says, vodka Diet Coke. Girl.
So that, what kills me about that, it's merely not a cocktail. that is a mixed drink.
It's just, it's not a cocktail.
She doesn't even know that. She said, oh, I love a vodka Diet Coke. Well, that's great, but
she was about to meet an old-fashioned. Sure. Yeah, she was about to meet an old-fashioned who was about to rock her fucking world.
She was about to know a thing or two about a cocktail. It's mm-hmm. so funny to go from I love vodka Diet Coke to now I'm drinking old-fashions, because old-fashions, you don't just start drinking those.
Oh, no, that's a hard cocktail. Like, yeah. I'm a hardened cocktail lover, and, like, I would seldom order an old-fashioned. That's, like, a one-and-done for me. That's a lot.
And she's drinking them. But well, I wasn't thinking, and you were just drinking. Many such cases,
by the way. If I was with Calvin Harris, I would turn to the old-fashioned. I would. So, unfortunately, this segment of the interview is very much disordered eating vibes. Your favorite cocktail is vodka Diet Coke. Then what is your favorite food? She immediately goes, if calories didn't count. And it's like, oh, girl, chicken tenders. Girl, just say chicken tenders.
The way that, and then she talks about eating cheeseburger fries on a chocolate shake. It's like, you're
hungry. You're hungry, yeah, mama.
You're hungry, A, and B, what is this palate?
I know. No, well, this is, let's open the case. Whose favorite food is chicken tenders?
Well, lest we forget, chicken tenders and seemingly ranch.
And seemingly ranch. I remember, so like some tea is, my friend was working in the private like suite level of the Ritz-Carlton when Taylor was staying. And she showed me her room service order. And Singapore is known for having like the most incredible local food. We have so many famous local dishes. Like, it's one of the only things to do really in Singapore when you come is like go on a massive food tour. And Taylor ordered every single night cheeseburger, fries, chocolate shake. That's it.
This was during a period where I think that, I mean, to be fair, how old was she during this? 26? So when I...
26.
Yeah, before I met Mason, I really hadn't fully like expanded into like all different kinds of food. Mason's a chef. This is why this is relevant. But it's like, who has Taylor met that's expanded her culinary taste? I don't know if anybody. Anybody? Anybody?
Well,
no.
I also, we know Travis isn't. Let's start there. But I think that also, you know, I want to give her credit too. Like when you have issues with food, you like make certain foods safe foods and you have a very like specific palate. So I'll give that up to her. She hadn't eaten a burrito until she was 30. There's something going on there. But yeah, this is not the let's analyze Taylor's eating habits. It's just something I thought was funny and very indicative of its time. Like it's a very 1989 thing. That is what she said when she was asked what her favorite food was. She says her best birthday cake ever was from Milk Bar for her 25th iconic birthday. This Milk Bar cake, every single person in the world has had this. I can if I close my eyes, I can taste the Milk Bar birthday cake taste. Glossier, so famous, Glossier made a lip balm that tastes like it. And Jay-Z raved about it, apparently. She just said that so she could say that Jay-Z liked it.
She just said that so she could say, I know Jay-Z. What's funny about this is she's gotten a Milk Bar birthday cake many times.
Multiple times.
Then.
Oh, multiple times.
She loves that Milk Bar cake. And
it is good. It is really good.
They have a Milk Bar in Las Vegas now. They didn't have one before. And let me tell you, Mama was getting that slice of cake. I love that slice of cake. It's like the quintessential this tastes like birthday cake. It's delicious and I love it. She's right.
And no, they also have a cereal milk soft serve that is like to die for. So Milk Bar, you will never get overrated allegations from Evolution of Snake. We love you. If you want to give us, we're coming to New York and it's the birthday of our tour. We would love a Milk Bar birthday cake. So if you would like to deliver that to us expeditiously, we would love that. Thank you. Also, I wonder how, like she and Tree definitely collaborated on the creation of these questions, right? For sure.
Yeah, for sure. But it's like, who's asking her about a birthday cake? Why does she want to be asked about her birthday cake? Yeah. Why does she? I don't
know.
No,
she wants to be asked about her birthday cake so she can say, Jay-Z loves me. That was the point of this question.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Then she's asked what the last thing she baked was. And unfortunately, it's the most boring thing in the world. Dairy, gluten-free chocolate cake. This is the bakestress.
This is the bakestress, and she's making a dairy, gluten-free chocolate cake. Dairy-free, we have to cheer. Gluten-free, you're losing me.
To have been for one of the Hadids.
Surely. I mean, we were all there that day when Gigi wanted merely a slice of her own birthday cake. And that
she was offered half an almond to chew slowly.
Yeah.
And she says in her fridge the thing that she always needs. Weirdly, she's like, weirdly, it's hummus. I'm like, that is one of the most normal things that you could have in your fridge that most people would have.
Versatile. You can eat it on a chip.
Who doesn't need hummus? It's on our writer. It's on the Evolution of Snake writer.
You spread it out. You can make a pasta sauce out of hummus.
Ew. I don't think I would like that.
Oh, it's really good. No, roasted red pepper hummus. You have to do it right, and it's really delicious. People know.
One day you can cook it for me. One day when I come to Montana, I will realize.
Right. In Montana, you come to eat roasted red pepper hummus rigatoni, and you will cheer. Yum! It's really spicy.
Then she's asked, what do you still have from childhood? And she says, without missing a beat, my insecurities. Oh, we know about those empty lunch tables of your past. You never stop talking about it.
And she would continue forward to talk about it once more.
Continue to talk about it over and over again. Then she offers to go out and show him the outside situation. And she puts on a delicious looking coat. Ooh, that coat looked so cozy. I want to wrap myself up in it right now.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
What color is that?
What's funny about it?
It's kind of orangey, no?
Yeah, it was very fall coated. She draped it over her shoulders. Hello.
She didn't put her arms
in. I'm Jackie O. A walk around Hyannis Port, you say? Why not?
She was so happy to do it. And also her garden is beautiful. I loved the landscaping.
No, oh my gosh. I will be robbing that.
It was kind of giving Palm Springs.
Yeah, it was Gorgina. When I make my millions, I too will have a beautiful brick patio with lots of unique furniture that I picked up from a little place downtown, et cetera, et cetera. That'll be me.
That Watch will be back. You. She says that her favorite TV show of all time is Friends. We knew that. Her favorite currently airing show is Dateline. This is where she gets all her neuroses from. We got to turn Dateline off.
Yeah, you have to shut that off.
This is why you're having nightmares.
Yep.
Off. Her favorite movie is Love Actually. We knew that. I wonder if that's still the case. I wonder if she would still say that now.
Surely, after many, many years and many, many movies, your favorite movie from when you were a teenage girl is no longer your favorite movie. Because she's been saying that since Fearless. We got to come up with something else.
Well, my favorite movie from when I was a teen is still my favorite movie now. So I have to say,
interesting.
There's something to it.
There's something to it. Or it's giving, I simply can't let go of what once was. Are there better movies? Well, yes.
Than The Virgin Suicides, which is my favorite movie. I don't know.
Are there
At least that's
movies?
A real movie.
Love At Actually least is not a real it's movie. A real fucking movie. And it's not Love Actually.
Which is cute, but to me, I'm like, that's a holiday movie. Like, it's a Christmas movie. You watch it then that's it. Like, it's not a year-round.
Are you watching it all the time? You can't be. It has to be something you can just put on. Maybe she is. I don't know. It's not her business. It's not her business.
Maybe she is.
She hasn't answered questions like this in a long time. So who are we to know?
That's what I want to know. These are the things I want to know. I don't want to know about like the intimate details of your relationship. I want to know, what are you watching? What are you reading? What are you listening to? That's what I want to know. Well, we know she was listening to Tit for Tat by Tate McRae and Taste.
Taste. Oh, I know she's turning that shit up.
Then he says, why are you the most followed person on Instagram? I forgot that. I forgot that Taylor Swift was Instagram at this period of time. And that is also what made Snakegate so insane, was that it toppled her standing as like the most followed person on the platform. And she turned her comments off. They were still on at this point. And she says, because my cats are adorable. Classic.
That's actually crazy. I completely forgot she ever was. I thought it was Selena Gomez forever. Forever.
No, then it was Selena Gomez.
Then it was.
Then it was Selena Gomez. Well, after. So he asks, do you ever Google yourself? She turns around and says, yeah. Like wild, crazy eyes. And he says, what do you think when you Google yourself? And she says, I think you should never Google yourself again. I think she was Googling herself every minute of the day at this point of her
career. Well, that's why she cracked. And that's exactly why people crack. If you're Googling yourself, I don't care who you are. My sister Googled me the other day, and the automatic suggestions on Google disturbed me so bad. I was like, that is diabolical.
What were they?
They were my name and then Mason. My name, Montana.
Mason.
My name, college. They really wanted to know where I go to college. My name, age. It was just like everything that you could think. It's like, why do you guys need to know this stuff about me? Why are you Googling my name and Mason? Do you want to know what he looks like? Go to my Instagram. Like, why do you need to Google that?
That's weird. This is why you don't Google yourself.
This is why you don't. And I didn't. My sister sent me this unprompted. Don't.
You're like, leave me alone.
Don't do that.
And Taylor knows. Taylor is learning in this particular instance that you can't.
Hers are way worse. You can't.
Then she's asked, if she had a superpower, what would hers be? And she says, healing people. I really believe that about her.
Yeah, 100%. She's definitely is that person who in a video game, she says, I want to be the healer, even though it's the most boring one. It's like, well, I want to be the witch and I want to ruin people's lives. Ever heard of it?
And she's drawn to like sick people. And I don't mean that in like a weird way. I mean it in like a Mother Teresa way. Like she is always posting up at the children's hospital randomly out of nowhere just to go and like spread some cheer and be Taylor Swift and go to people's houses. Like it's pretty, I think that's a really consistent part of her personality. Healer.
What she doesn't know is that she's already healing the world and she has been for a very long time. Music heals.
Exactly. You Music have this heals. Power. Music has healing Music. Value.
Music brings the people. I just listened to that song recently. The bourgeoisie. Yes.
Well, yes. So then she's asked, if you weren't a singer, what would you do? She says she'd be in advertising. Baby, you are in advertising. That's like 55% of your job.
And you know what? I see it. She thinks that she's going to be that guy from Mad Men. And she will be. Gender swap Mad Men.
And she will be.
She will be.
And she's damn good at it, too. I mean, she's one of the best marketers of our time. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And people say it's just because she makes a million variants. You wish it were.
You wish it were. If it was that easy, everybody would be doing it. We keep saying this. If it was that easy, everyone would be doing it. Then he asks her for a cool talent, and she prefaces it by saying, I know this is nothing, and it really is nothing. I have double-jointed elbows. And then she shows him. Do you remember we used to clown on these? There's that one picture of her from 1989 where she has her arm up like this, and her elbow is like sticking out, and we were all like, what's wrong with your elbow? And she reblogged it on Tumblr and was like, I'm double-jointed.
And you know what? That did significant damage to her body image. Let's just open the case. Mm-hmm. People are her supposed fans on Tumblr.com being like, what's wrong with your arms? I'm sure
your
that
elbow
was really
looks
good
weird.
For her. I'm sure that was really good for her mental health at the time. This is why you never should have logged in. Because we, as 14, 15, 16-year-olds, it was like, oh, it's so funny. Is it? If somebody was like thousands of notes, what's wrong with your arms? I wouldn't grin.
It's really hard for people to understand just how much Taylor was on Tumblr at this point of time. I can imagine she was like, I don't want to Google myself. That seems scary. Maybe I'll just go on Tumblr to get the news instead. I can't stress how profoundly idiotic that decision was. She learned stuff that she never need to learn. Never, never, never.
Things that you could never fathom were happening on Tumblr.com.
There's so much of that that's just lost. And you know what? I don't want to bring it back. I think it should stay where it is.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God.
Thank God. So then she's asked, what's something that you can't do, a cartwheel or a handstand? Girl, me either. I can like half do a cartwheel, but I cannot do a handstand. I would love to be able to do a handstand.
I could never do a cartwheel when I was a kid, and it was such a bummer because, you know, the girls all around you are like cartwheeling all around, and it's like, you know, their parents send them to gymnastics and stuff, and I was like, why the fuck aren't my parents sending me to gymnastics? I should have done gymnastics. Yeah. Everything would be different.
Taylor theoretically is someone who should be able to do a cartwheel, but she's very uncoordinated, which I can relate to. That's a very
No, she learned how to do the splits instead. She solved this hole by doing the splits.
Which I would say is harder to do than a cartwheel or a handstand. It takes way more work.
Yeah. So there you go.
One thing about Taylor is she's not going to take the easy route.
Nope.
That's not her journey. She won't do it. The best compliment she's ever received is that she's generous. Again, I think this is very on par with what we know about her. She has a whole closet full of gifts to just randomly give people. And the best gift she's ever received is an olive tree planted by her boyfriend in her yard for Christmas. The DJ Calvin Harris tree.
I would have left it if I was her.
Oh,
like,
me too.
For the olives. Thanks
the
for
the tree
olive,
didn't
babe.
Do anything.
Yeah.
The tree didn't do a single thing to her. I'm sure it's beautiful, but I would also encourage any dogs to piss on it when they came over to the house.
Well, yes. It's good for the tree. It's good for the tree.
Meredith, you want to scratch up a tree? There you go.
Yeah.
She says that the habit she wishes she could break is her jittery leg, and it's because she thinks it makes her look nervous when she's not. Interesting.
Period.
Her nickname is Teffy by Austin Swift. Well, I want to know the origins of that. I'm sure it's really boring and like a family inside joke.
Yeah, I did Google it and I tried to find anything about it on Reddit. Like, is it a reference to a character? No, it's nothing. It means something only to them. Good for them. I used to have a really strange nickname that makes no sense from my brother, actually, when I was a kid. So it's like, that doesn't surprise me. It's meaningless. It has no reference.
What was it?
It was Chibble.
Chibble?
Yeah.
I wouldn't like that.
What the fuck does that mean?
Well, I wouldn't like that. I'd be like, get that out of here.
It sounds like the name of like a little mouse or something.
My parents have nicknames for me that they still use more than my actual name, but I will not be revealing them in public.
Period.
So she says that she's asked what surprises her. And she says, I'm pleasantly surprised that I tell my friends absolutely everything and it never ends up in the press. Girl, there's a crook who got caught in your midst. You don't know it yet, but she's about to spill your tea in a way that you're really not going to fucking like.
And I bet that really gagged her at the time. A friend to all is a friend to none. When you have too many friends, none of these people are really trustworthy, man. The circle has to be close. You can't have 6,000 friends. Nobody has ever had. In the history of friends and the history of humanity, if you have 6,000 friends, it's over. You're
Taylor's
getting
gonna
murdered.
Try, though.
You are
she's
Julius
back to doing
Caesar.
This. Graham Norton's Brute. Coming to the wedding. Who wants to come to the Taylor Swift wedding? It's for everyone, apparently. All are invited.
She's going to regret that. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
What makes you laugh, Kevin Hart?
I have no. That is the most 2010s possible thing.
Enjoy that. What does creativity mean to you? She says, it's getting the inspiration and having that lightning bolt moment and then having the hard work to sit down at the desk and write it down. It's so true. Creativity is 80% follow through, 20% talent and inspiration.
10% luck, 20% skills, 30% concentrated power of will.
I think that is what sets her apart as an artist from other artists. This is what Lana was saying. She wants it more than anyone else.
And she gets it.
She gets it. If you want it more, be my guest. Let's see. The most adventurous thing she's ever done is watch Shark Week. And she says this because the interviewer says that the prior answer was Nicole Kidman, who said she swam with sharks. She loves Shark Week. She's been going on about that for years.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of into sharks as well, but I've never been into Shark Week. I like movies, like produced Hollywood movies about sharks, but like watch the shark in its natural habitat. That's when I get freaked out. I need to see it. I need to see the animatronic. I don't want to see the real guy.
You want to see the wheels bringing the shark along through the water. You don't want to see real shark.
No, I'm not about that.
What's your favorite lyric of all time? I had some dreams once. They were clouds in my coffee. Period. Period. That totally makes sense to me. That's her favorite lyric of all time. I wonder if it's the same. Now.
After all these years? Well, I mean, she's one of those people who hangs on to stuff. And like, You're So Vain is like one of the most iconic songs of all time about writing songs about people. I mean, there's just something very Taylor Swiftian about that. I bet you think
it's
the song's about you. It's biblical.
It's biblical to her. But also that one line specifically, I had some dreams once they were clouds in my coffee. It's the most beautiful, melancholic, but also kind of like kiss off ever. I think Taylor really does try to accomplish that vibe in her lyrics quite a lot.
Yeah. She loves it.
What's a song you wish you had written? Here comes Money, Please. She immediately goes the Friends theme song, royalties, in her $25 million house. Okay.
Now, my thing about that is like, how many royalties can you really get off the Friends theme song? Because it's not used anywhere else but in the Friends theme song.
But it gets syndicated forever and ever and ever. You get so much money off
and
of that.
And the thing is, I'll be there for you. Like, really, that's the song you want to say that you wish you had written?
Then she's walking towards her yard, like the lawn part of her backyard, I guess. And there's someone just sitting there in a sun chair uselessly. And she's asked about a fan moment that comes to mind. And she says she'll just stop someone on the street wearing her shirt when she's driving and jump out of her car and say, nice shirt. Which is really cute. That would kill me if that happened to me. I would just pass away.
Oh, I would be dead on the street. You'd have to come scoop me up.
I'd be like, get out of here. I don't know you. Her most memorable career moment so far, okay? Album of the year at the Grammys, maybe. I don't know, one of her world tours, maybe. Having Carly Simon, you're just talking about her, coming out at your tour, maybe. No, filming the Bad Blood music video.
She was really committed to her girls. She was committed to them in a way that they were not committed to her. They were not committed to her the way that she was committed to this. And you know what? I bet it was really fun. And I bet it was at the time really memorable. And it's so sad because now you know she probably looks back on that and flinches. And it's like, oh, that didn't work out the way that
I thought it would. Well, it was embarrassing creatively. It's just I would think, if I was thinking, what's Taylor's favorite career moment, I would have thought about like a real accomplishment. This was like the psychic healing of a childhood wound. I have friends. Look at them.
Oh, that, and I think she really thought it fucked. I think she really thought it was awesome. And you know what?
And it was like the most viewed video ever at the time. So I guess to someone somewhere, it did.
At the time. So it's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's Bad Blood o'clock somewhere.
Luckily, she pivots back to a normal answer when they ask her, what's your favorite accomplishment? She says her Grammys. And then it's serious as a heart attack for the next question. What's one thing you've always wanted to try but you've been afraid to? Coachella.
And it's like, there's a lot of things in this interview that I feel like are like foreshadowing deliberately. She knew she was going to Coachella.
Oh, she knew. Yeah. She knew there was a whole pivot, a whole rebrand Coachella. Thing coming up. I'm cool girl. But I believe her that she was terrified to go to Coachella. I do.
She should have been. She should have been. There's no earthly reason that she should have been there. And yet there she was, period.
And thank God she went. Thank God she went. I encourage her to attend again. She says her spirit animal is a dolphin because they're social and they travel in groups. Okay. The guy in the lawn chair then says, hey, my anniversary is coming up. Where should I take my wife? Unfortunately, 1 point for the Gaylors. She says, Big Sur.
Well, that's exactly where you should take. I'm saying she's right. It's Gaylor. Maybe it is, but there's everything to that. Big Sur is like one of the most beautiful places on earth. When I went, I was pretty fucking gagged. I was like, this can't be real. It was romantic.
I want to go.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Is there a hot man in, wait, is it the Bay Area? Is that where it is? Or is it in like LA?
It's not in LA. It's very far away from it. I guess you could say it's nearer to the Bay Area than it is to LA. It's like between the two.
Okay, so this is my PSA. If you're a hot guy with a car, if you would like to take me to Big Sur, tell me. Reach out.
And you'll have the most romantic road trip of your life.
We'll have the time of our lives. So then they go back inside, and her advice to anyone who wants to be a singer, and this is the only time where I was like, there she is. She goes, get a good lawyer.
Foreshadowing. There's many reasons she needed that good lawyer coming up. Thank God. Thank God.
Every day she needs a good lawyer. Any pre-show rituals? Then she describes the most normal thing in the world, which I think every single pop star does. Stretch, warm up your voice, get in a huddle. I'm like, what's the weird? Do you do anything weird? Maybe she doesn't. Maybe she doesn't. Maybe there's just nothing weird to report.
Maybe there's just nothing weird to report. What's something weird that we do? Anything?
Well, in Brisbane, we forgot we were going on stage. That was kind of weird.
I feel like we don't have any pre-show rituals, though. Like, we're just like, okay, here we go.
We've stopped even being like, good luck. We just do it.
We don't need it.
We need to bring that back. You know what we did in Boston? We did the knock-em, this tour is red. We did that thing. That was funny.
Oh, right. Yes, I know exactly. This tour is red. I'm fearless and I speak now. And this tour is red.
And then I was born in 1989. Yeah. Well, actually, to me, the pre-show ritual we had was listening to the intro video. I would always get so excited when I heard, my name is Taylor and I was born in 1989. That's the best part of the whole thing. It lifts you up. Cheered. It just puts you in a moment of, and it's crazy. She's literally just saying, this is the year I was born. And yet it's everything.
It's everything. And that's how Taylor makes the ordinary the spectacular. Come see propaganda. Evolution of a Snake live on tour for more moments exactly like this. Coming to a city near you.
Coming to a city near you. She says the hardest song to sing is The Best Day because it's emotional about her mom. Cool, we know. The camera pans and there are a lot of cat objects. So the interviewer says, how many cats are there? And she says more than 10, depending if you're counting the one that's alive. I couldn't make out who that was, but it kind of looks like Meredith.
I think it was Meredith.
Sleep in front of the fire. Queen! queen, queen. Yeah. They ask her if she was a cat, would she get along with her cats? And she says, probably not. They wouldn't think I was cool. So true. Meredith would get her in a way that she wouldn't even know.
It's so crazy to have that kind of relationship with your cat. I think that there are like many different relationships that you can have with your cat. I don't, if I was a cat, Chester would be like, you're the coolest person I've ever fucking met. He thinks I am a cat. He thinks I am a cat.
Well, see, that's the tea. But Taylor has that. I think Benjamin is like just a dog-like cat. He's so sweet. And then we have Olivia, who I think is like mommy's girl. And then we have Meredith, who Taylor works for Meredith, basically. Like yeah, she's exactly. her employee. And that's how it should be. She's the only person saying no on Team Taylor. And that's how it should be. She names 5-9 cat breeds in 15 seconds. We get it. We get it. This doesn't even bother me anymore. I'm like, she loves cats. It's, let her.
The last time it bothered me is when we did the Ellenology and we went back through all our Ellen ones and the lover one.
Too much.
That was like, I've never been more embarrassed in my entire life to be a Swiftie. But you know what?
No.
Still, I came back for more.
We survived. She says the coolest thing in the room is the fireplace, tea. Then she says if she could raid a woman's closet, it would be Blake Lively. And I just burst out laughing, not because of the current day situation, but because Blake Lively has horrible style. Like, whenever I think of Blake Lively, I think of her in It Ends With Us wearing, like, jeans with fishnets over them and, like, a sweater and a jacket and a coat, like, as pajamas to go to sleep. Like, just some of the most atrocious styling of all time. And, of course, that's Taylor's style icon.
No, there is really something to be said. Like, if you're a woman and, like, 10 years ago, Blake Lively was very famous for her style 10 years ago. She had that crazy Met Gala outfit where she became the Statue of Liberty. And she also had that ill-fated style blog that she did that had a very unfortunate title. And she was like a style icon to a lot of people, but a certain kind of person, like the most boring person you know, is like, Blake Lively is the fashionista for the ages.
Sure.
I never got it. Like, yes.
Sure.
The Statue of Liberty.
Why not? Her
outfit was amazing, but like, that wasn't her though. Like, she was styled.
Taylor's saying, I want her style.
And she's wrong for that. And it is unfortunate what This Ends With Us did for Blake Lively's style, reputation.
Legacy.
It's completely been ruined.
It's so crazy. No, it really is so crazy. And it's her own fault because she styled it. So, like, it's completely your own fault. Her favorite trend of all time is high-waisted stuff. So 2016, sure. Her must-have purse items are just one thing, a lavender antibacterial hand spray that she shares with her friends in the public bathroom when they have to wait to wash their hands. And she gives it to them and they love her for it. They cheer. This is pathological people pleaser behavior. Your favorite thing in your bag is the thing that you take out and everybody goes, ah, for.
Especially because it's like,
when are you in a public bathroom? Can we open that case? It's at the Met Gala. That's when. Public bathroom, when they take those selfies in like the public restroom and they're all in their gowns. That's when.
That's when. That's when you wake
She's
up
She's not
in
waiting
the
to wash her hands.
No, that's not happening anymore. Come on. Come on.
It wouldn't. What are you wearing to this year's Met Gala? She says, I'm going to be dressed like a robot and I'll carry a sword. She wasn't kidding. That was serious.
That was very serious. Where was the sword? I think it really would have added something.
I think it would have added.
Really kind of tied it together and been kind of cunt. But we lost
In for a penny, in for a pound. Then she's asked what she would want to do when she was 5, like what she would have wanted to aspire to be too. She said she knew her dad was a stockbroker, so she wanted to do that. And then she's asked, what's the one thing you wish you knew at 19? She would tell her 19-year-old self that you're going to date just like a normal 20-something should be allowed to, but you're going to be a national lightning rod for slut-shaming. It kills me that she has nothing positive to offer to her 19-year-old self. Like, there's no...
She said, it's going to be bad.
Like, but keep going, queen. Mm-mm. It's just like, it's going to suck really bad.
It's just going to be really bad. She was, get ready.
She was writing her Grammy's speech. She was writing her Grammy's speech. And then she's asked, what will you be doing in 10 years? And she says, in 10 years, I'll be 36, and I really hope I'm not stressed out about approaching 40. I hope aging is not something that really freaks me out. And from what I can tell, mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. It is really hard. Like, when you start seeing those first gray hairs, you're like, alert the press. Like, it's over. Pack it up. It's really scary. It actually is. And then you're like, one day you have this moment of clarity where you're like, you know what? I'm going to die one day. And you just say, okay.
I think she had that moment when she broke up with Joe. She was like, I can't believe I wasted all that time.
Yeah.
Why the hell did I do that? And now I would say she's having more fun than she's ever had before.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. It's like,
at least
30 is like so scary to people. And I totally understand why. Like, it's not an invalid feeling. But I will say that, like, once you're in it, you're like, damn, this is kind of, I kind of don't give a fuck. Like, it's kind of everything.
Me soon.
Yeah.
Me soon. What is your most important life lesson? And to her, she says with a glint and a glimmer in her eye, karma is real. Girls, there wasn't an album. There was no, baby, there's no album. This was about, I'm going to get Kanye West on the Grammy stage. She's been Easter egging it this entire interview.
Karma is real. Karma is real.
It is. She says it in such a, literally, that's the tone that it's shared with. What can you say in another language? She counts to 10 in German. Why do we care about that? Why is that a question?
Yeah, why do you know? It's like, why do you randomly know how to count in German? Like, I feel like she knows more. Why did you want to count in German? She's been all over the world. Surely she knows how to say a couple things in Italian, a couple things in Japanese, Mandarin.
No, it's Rentanista like time.
It's let me just count in German really quick.
He says the interview is almost over and she walks him to the door and he asks her what her favorite thing about her hometown is, which is why I'm missing Pennsylvania. She says her favorite thing is that it had a lot of historic buildings. Okay, we cheer. We cheer for that. Then she's asked what the bravest thing she's ever done is. And this is when I was so like, oh my God, this was a different lifetime. The Apple Music letter. And that was the most spontaneous thing she's ever done, which we've already said, not true.
She was really, really proud of that Apple Music letter. I think at the time, and people were gassing her up to believe this, so I don't blame her, but I think she thought, I changed everything.
Right, everything. The royalty issue really has not been fixed.
No, people don't care anymore. People DGAF. You can shove in people's faces just how little artists make off of Spotify. People don't care. They're still going to use Spotify. What are you supposed to do? Not listen to your music?
It's not going to stop them from doing it. Yeah.
So...
And then a goal she's determined to achieve is an honorary doctorate degree because Ed Sheeran has one and I want one too. And guess what? You got the degree.
So make the friendship bracelet. Let's take the moment and taste it. It's crazy that Ed Sheeran got one before her. That I'm saying, and I'm saying this with my full chest, misogyny. Write it down.
Well, is his from NYU? It. No, his is probably from Bumfuck University of Castle on the Hill town where I grew up. That's not...
It's sexism. It's sexism of the highest order.
It is.
Thank you. Thank you.
It is. And also, what did he get a doctorate degree in? Being an idiot? Being ginger?
All right. All right. Congratulations, Ed. Congratulations on your honorary degree.
Not from
Castle on the Hill.
Not from
Castle
me.
On the Hill.
The final question, and this was important, and I wanted to know, what is your favorite scented candle? She says Byredo Treehouse. Thank you.
Period. You know, it's always so interesting. Do you ever find yourself when... celebrities are asked these questions like, what's your favorite X? Are you like, I don't have one. It's like, I have so many scented candles, and I bet Taylor does too. Having a favorite, I'm always getting new ones. Anybody else? Anybody?
I think
anybody?
You just have to go with your heart at the time and get away from being like my favorite of all time. What's your favorite today?
Which is scary. Then you're and then it's like we're sitting here analyzing it.
She's locked into it. Yeah, now we know 10 years later, Taylor's favorite candle is this.
I've never smelled that one.
It's good. It's kind of inoffensive. I would say hotel lobby vibes, like very amenable.
A good thing to have in your bathroom at the party. I love a bathroom in the candle. It's very classy at the party. And now we know.
A bathroom in the candle. You're so right.
A bathroom in the candle. A candle in the bathroom is one of the classiest things you can do. Period. You heard it from me.
What? Well, I think that kind of wraps up our 10-year anniversary of 73 Questions. This has been another episode of Tay Rewind, our series where we go through all the happenings of the Taylor Nation from throughout the year. It's really fun to zoom in on like specific random things. So if you have any requests for that, let us know. And go to evolutionofinstinct.com to get tickets for the show, girl, experience.
It's coming sooner than you think. So you better get your tickets now.
Get your ass up.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dix.com/scorecardplus for details.